Welcome to Lectionary Lunch. We are looking at Isaiah 65, 1 through 9. And I think it's probably best to say we don't have too much of a context for this. We know that it's the second half of Isaiah. We know that this is referring to exiles in Babylon. But as far as anything beyond that, consult the commentaries. I didn't say anything. So without, you know, anything more of a context, with a lot of Hebrew to look at in like 15 minutes or so, let's just get started. So we begin with these two Nifal verbs, Nifal perfects, and what I did find out is that perhaps these are best understood in terms of Yahweh was willing to be sought and to be found. So the Nifal can have that side of it. So Nid Rashti Lalo Sha'alu. So I was willing to be sought. Darash, a very common word, especially when people are seeking Yahweh. Lalo Sha'alu. Now we go down to the footnote here, and the editor's Lectio Cum, so read with Qumran A, and some other manuscripts. We are in Isaiah 65, 1 through 9 for all local Lutheran clergy who have come into the room, as well as seminarians with neat hats. So we will amend the text. We don't necessarily have to. We could understand the last verb, vikshuni, and say that that's going to be a backward gap. You see that? Maybe the nun herik yod, this first common singular object suffix. The Hebrew quite often forward gaps ideas, but this would be backward gaps, so maybe we don't need to amend the text. But I think either way, we would say, I was willing, that is, Yahweh was willing to be sought, but they did not ask me. See, they did not inquire of me. Then the next Nifal perfect verb, Nim Tzeti, I was willing to be found, and they did not, again, Bakash and Darash are almost semantically equivalent, and they did not look after me, seek me, pursue me. I mean, he's talking to Israel here. Amarti Hineni Hineni. This is great. This is probably where I'd preach from. Isaiah loves to duplicate things. I mean, the whole section begins with Nakamu, Nakamu, comfort, comfort in 40 verse 1. So Hineni, this particle of immediacy, here I am. And you actually, if we're kind of thinking in terms of a homiletical direction, one way to go would be to go to Psalm 40, if you want to look at Psalm 40, which is quoted then in Hebrews chapter 10 of Jesus, see. Psalm 40, verse 8, 11, 23, then I said, Hine va'ati, behold, I have come. In the the portion of the Sefer, the scroll, it is written about me. So again, that's finally Jesus saying, Hine va'ati, behold, I've come. I'm available to do Yahweh's will. Well, verse 9 talks about that. So the availability of Yahweh to be sought and found finally is in Jesus saying, behold, you know, I have come to do your will. It's written about me in the scroll of the book. So that may be one way to get at this. But this, is, again, is this great offer, this great invitation. Yahweh is present for the people. But he goes on, he said, Hineni, Hineni, I'm really here. Now we would know he's really here, also in light of the fact that if the temple is rebuilt by then, Yahweh is present in the temple. So a way to get at that would be in 8:18 in Isaiah. We won't talk about children as signs and portents in Israel, although that's a great idea in 8:18. But see the last part of Isaiah 8, verse 18. Me'im Yahweh Tzevaoth ha'shokein b'har Tzion. So that's where he is. See, he's the one who's shokeining. He's dwelling, probably here with all of the incarnational freight that Mishkan and Shekan would carry, in Mount Zion. So that's where he is. Now again, we're assuming that the second temple has been rebuilt. Isaiah's, you know, talking in these kinds of terms. So anyway, but to a nation, lo kora vishmi. To a nation, here it's pointed as a pu'al, but I think most of the versions, as you can see in the footnote, would simply read it as a call. And that's what the editors suggest. To a nation, it did not call to my name. See? So Yahweh is completely available, and yet the nation didn't call on his name, maybe. It did not call on his name. Well, and it goes on, kind of the spurned lover motif. Pe'rasti adai kol hayom. So I spread out my hands all the day to a nation so rare, bless you, to a rebellious nation. Now this is a call participle, active masculine singular, but it's functioning adjectivally to modify this noun am. This am is rebellious. And again, the hands are out in front of Yahweh. At all times and all places, we might even. Well, not all times, but only one place, Zion. How's that sound? To a people, again, this participial idea, they're almost constantly, ha-ho, lakim, they're almost constantly walking in the way that isn't tov, after makshavotehim, after their considerations. Now here might be another homiletical way to get into this. That we know in chapter 55 of Isaiah, verse 6, probably adjusive here, let the Rasha is an unbeliever. Okay, it is just it's theologically, that's how it, the wicked one, it's an unbeliever. Let that one abandon his way, and the evil man mock Shevotal, his thoughts. And then it kind of goes on in verse 8, my thoughts are not your thoughts. So what's happening in 65:2 is these people are walking after their thoughts, their considerations. And the most important consideration of Yahweh, the use of Keshav is in Genesis 15, verse 6, where Avram believed the seed promise and Yahweh Keshavd it at Zedekah. So that might be a way to homiletically unpack this. These people are not they're not receiving Yahweh's consideration of righteousness. They're trying to find their own righteousness through foreign gods. See, well, let's go on. So the people, and here we have a hifil participle of kaf ayin samik, which is quite often, when Yahweh is provoked, it's often because of idol worship. So the people, see, the ones who are provoking me to anger to my face. See, I mean, so the spurned lover, he didn't get an email, see. I mean, it's face-to-face tamid continually. So look at the contrast. Kol hayom in verse 2. See, that's Yahweh's continual posture. Israel's continual posture, tamid, is provoking him to his face. They're sacrificing, another call act of participle, ba-ga-not, upon the roofs in burning incense, and no one knows what this means, I checked it out, upon the bricks. So it's not a brick house or something like that, if you remember the Commodores, and there are some people here who know what I'm talking about. But it's a brick pagan altar, see? We're dealing with First Commandment stuff, right? Look at the ongoing use of the participles. They are dwelling in, and here's where it goes a little bit south. They're dwelling in the sepulchres, in the graves, probably by means of, oh, thank you so much. And this is a tough phrase, but they're lodging, yalinu, this is just from lean, call imperfect third comma, third masculine plural from lean. They're lodging, they're spending the night probably in hiding places, but literally in places being watched. But most would take that they're hiding in graves and they're lodging in hiding places. See, they're doing this covert activity because, again, this continual participial action. They're eating the flesh of the swine. See, okay, again, this has pagan idolatry all over it. And here, again, the Hebrew is difficult. And probably stew, okay, like some kind of a soup. Of detestable things would be in their vessels. Yeah. So whatever the pagan rites are, they're being done in secret, and they are eating things that a good Israelite would say, tameh, see, unclean. And they have pride about this. The ones who are saying, draw near to you, okay, Kirav Elakah, draw near to you. Do not draw near to me, Ki Kadash Tika. And again, most of the three commentaries I looked at essentially said, do not come to me because, see, I am holier than you. See, so here they're involved in this unclean tameh activity underground, behind closed doors, and they're saying, you know, go near to you, but don't come near to me because I'm holier than you. Okay, these people, apparently, Yahweh says, are a shan, are smoke in my nostrils, a kindled fire, kol hayom, all the day. Verse 6, behold, it is being written to my face, I will not be silent, rather I will repay. See, here's the peal of shalom. Shalom, we understand the noun. Quite often the verbal form is in the peal, to repay. And this is what he will do. I will not be silent. Ki am strong and versive. I will repay, and I will repay unto their bosom. See, right, you know, hit them right in the gut is you know, right where their center of their being is. These people, see, whom Yahweh is saying, hene, who are involved in idol worship. Their sins, see, verse 6, their avonakim, and the sins of their fathers together, says Yahweh, whom they hear a peal of katar, which means to burn incense upon Ha-Harim, upon the mountains and upon the hills, Kerofuni, they provoke me. So classic ideas of pagan worship upon mountains and hills, burning incense. And I will measure, here's the geminate verb, maim dalet dalet. I will measure their deeds, the first ones. Again, right in the gut, to their kale, or cake, I'm sorry, with the third masculine plural pronominal suffix, maim, their bosom. All right, I said it's a little strange here, but that's what's going on here. Well, let's go on. Thus says Yahweh, just as, and you see the psalmic here, let's go at the end of verse 6. This is a satuma, which means for the Masoretes, this is a disjunctive marker. But kind of ignoring the psalmic and going full speed ahead, the people who do these lectionary decisions, see, because what is next? I don't really see what connects with 1-7, but maybe you do. Thus says Yahweh, just as the new wine will be found in the cluster, see, and then it goes on, top of the next page. And he will say, do not destroy him, indeed, bless him. Thus I will do on account of Avadai, my servants. Bilti is always a negative particle that goes with an infinitive construct, so we know the next verb is a hifil infinitive construct because of the bilti. See, and do not destroy HaKol them all. Verse 9, Hifil of Yetzah. I will bring forth from Jacob a Zerah. Now, if you want to preach on seed, you can do that. That's a good gospel idea. Genesis 3:15 and forward all the way to Galatians 3:16, right? And from Judah, one possessing my mountains, and they will possess her, literally, you know, that is my, whatever the antecedent of that is. That's why there would be the flag on the play. You go down, probably read, they will possess them. Okay, that would be the mountains. There's no feminine singular antecedent noun that really makes a lot of sense there. So, they will possess them, that's the mountains, that is my chosen one, and my servants, Yishkanu, Shema, and my servants, they will dwell there. Okay, so, I've taken up all of 20 minutes here, and we want to leave room for the New Testament.